She told me about this and that acquaintance of hers and how each was faring in the spirit world. She also did not forget to ask after relatives of hers and people she knew, and more distant relations besides, for grandmother had now been in the spirit world for some 7 years according to an earthly measurement of time. "Do you know," she then said, "at first I had such a longing for my family on earth that I wanted nothing but to go back again, even though my husband, your grandfather, was already here in the spirit world. I wanted so badly to be with you and all my other grandchildren. I longed for the house and for everything that had been important to me during my life on earth." She went on to explain how strange this new world had seemed to her at first, and that she willingly kept returning to the earthly world. Eventually she realized that no one sensed her presence there, and that her family could neither see nor hear her, and that, moreover, they clearly had no desire to do so. She thus made the decision to remain at a distance from the earthly world, for it had really ceased to offer her anything new. From then on she found life in the new world much more interesting. At the very moment when she had reached a definite decision not to continue her visits to the earthly realm, she was assigned on this side her present home and work. She told me how fortunate she was to have been given wonderful spiritual work to complete. All the same, she wanted to know how her relatives and acquaintances back on earth were. While we were chatting away, we received a visit from a being who presented himself as my spirit guide. He told me that it was now his duty to take me with him since I had spent a period of rest with my grandmother. Here I should add that I had had the opportunity to rest, and that my grandmother had been constantly at my side. So, this being who was my spirit guide was now responsible for looking after me. He acted in a very kindly manner, sitting down with us at table and telling me something of what I was going to be doing. He said that it was now time I, too, took up my spiritual duties, that I had taken adequate rest and familiarized myself with the new world, and that nothing now stood in the way of my assimilation into the order of God's world. He spoke also of the fact that, in addition to the activities that were to be assigned to me, I was to attend various schools. All this I followed closely, accepting everything he said. My grandmother had spoken to me and explained that everything had been purposefully arranged and that in any case we would certainly be able to visit each other. Together we made an agreement to see one another again as and when the opportunities presented themselves. My spirit guide responded by saying that as a matter of course we would not be living in the same spirit plane. I was somewhat more advanced in my spiritual development and was for that reason allowed to ascend to a higher plane. As far as our visits were concerned, it would be I who went to see grandmother, as the divine order which governs all things here, did not permit her to visit me in the higher regions. So we said our farewells to one another with many a fond good wish exchanged between us, and I entrusted myself to the care of my spirit guide. He accompanied me into another plane of the spirit world. I found the new surroundings rather more beautiful than those in which my grandmother lived, although I had certainly found everything pleasant enough. I was guided to a beautiful town. On the way, my companion explained that I was being taken to a house and would be received by a spirit mother. At the same time, he told me, other beings, newly returned and roughly the same age, would be arriving. These would be beings that had therefore died young, like myself. According to earthly time measurement, I was 17 years old. My guide told me that the youngest of the new arrivals was 16, the eldest 18. A big ceremony of welcome, in honor of us all, was accordingly due to take place. Having reached my destination, I noticed before me a building which looked similar to a country house on earth, surrounded by a lot of greenery. My guide had described the town to me as being large and attractive, with lakes and areas of green parkland. At the entrance to the house I was welcomed by my spirit mother, as my guide had called her. She greeted me by my name, which she already knew, and said to me, "In your earthly life you were known as Peter. For the time being we will also call you Peter here, but later on you will be given a very different name. Don't you think, too, that there are many more lovely names than Peter?" I agreed as much. My spirit mother felt so familiar to me and spoke to me as if she had already known me for a long time. Thus she continued, I will be as devoted to you as if I were your earthly mother, and together we will live as one big family. A big family, that was perhaps something of an exaggeration. Let me describe straight away how big the family really was. At this point I was still alone with my guide. A door was opened for us, leading into a large room which was the living room. It was very beautiful, and once again I found myself marveling at all the various objects there. A very handsome table stood in this room, made out of what I took to be a quite rare kind of wood, what kind of wood I could not tell. The chairs I also thought very handsome, and they looked as though they would be most comfortable. A magnificent candelabrum, extending far out on all sides, illuminated the entire room and gave it a very splendid feel. What I found most appealing about this new world was the fact that, though it was always bright, there were candelabra everywhere which, when lit, cast additional light of the loveliest kind. The light from these candelabra does not have the uniform quality of the light produced artificially on Earth. Rather, it is like sunlight, but in ever-changing colors. It really is quite beautiful. I liked it as soon as I saw it. The huge candelabra I first encountered was not kept alight at all times, but at the time of our arrival, every corner of the room was filled with its streams of brilliance. The floor was carpeted with a soft material which felt like a layer of fine moss. Its softness gave me exactly the same feeling as I had when I once walked across a thick mass of soft moss in a forest on Earth. It felt so much like something living, I was quite unable to tell what kind of spirit substance such a carpet could be made of, or even how it had been made. However, it was not this in particular which caught my attention and held my interest, it was rather the overall impression things made on me which I found so arresting. In addition, the room was furnished with a number of other very costly pieces of furniture, among them several occasional chairs which left me amazed for quite some time. I had never imagined heaven would be like this. Everything here had been made so extremely pleasant and comfortable for us. After a time, my spirit mother said to me, since you were the first to arrive, you may join us in receiving the others. And so, I accompanied my spirit mother to the front of the house to greet the new arrivals. My spirit guide stood beside me. Like us, he expressed pleasure whenever someone new approached our house. Each time, my spirit mother went up to the new arrival and greeted him warmly. She explained to him that this was now his new home and that from now on he would be helped to undertake a new kind of work. We were also introduced to one another. Now to something quite remarkable. It so happens that in my former life I was brought up as a Catholic, and it was generally believed that one's religion played an essential role in bringing one closer to God in the life after death. I must say, however, that at first I found nothing which reminded me of my life in the Catholic faith. I stayed with my grandmother for quite a time, and we certainly prayed together as we used to do in our former life. But grandmother had told me that we could pray just as well in her home as people on earth do in church, and so that is what we did. We made no attempt to look for a church or any other place of worship. I mention this only by way of explanation for what I am about to recount. Following my meeting with the first of the brothers, who had been introduced by the name he had used in his previous life, our mother spoke to him as she had done to me, and said, "We will give you another name later on. For the time being you may keep the name you used to have, after all each of you needs to have a name, but later we will hold a ceremony during which you will all be given your true, spiritual names." It became clear that this particular brother had been brought up in the Orthodox tradition, so I was Catholic and he was Orthodox. This did not disturb me in the least. All that mattered to me was that I felt completely safe and protected. I thought to myself, so, I am finally in heaven. And everything is going to be all right. I hadn't felt enticed to form any kind of opinion or make any sort of judgment. The new brother was given just as warm a welcome by our mother as I had been. He, too, was accompanied by a spirit guide. We led him into the living room since he had also been given permission to go there and was as interested as I had been to find out where we were all going to be living from now on. He also was greatly astonished by what he saw. Examining the objects, he declared, if they, by which he meant our parents, if they only knew how beautiful everything is for us here, they would stop shedding tears for us at once. I said that I agreed with him and thought exactly the same thing. At that point we were called out of the room. Others were arriving, and they were being received not indoors but outside, in front of the steps leading up to the house. Here they now were, one arriving after the other, each accompanied by his own spirit guide. We learned that the next brother to be introduced to us had been brought up as a Jew. After him came a Muslim, and after him a Protestant. In our case at least, we all asked each other straight away what religion we had followed on earth. For after all, heaven is a world of faith, and, likewise, each of us was quite direct in his reply. I found it strange that no one reproached us for the mistakes we must certainly have made in our lives on earth. These were simply not mentioned. In due course, having entrusted us to the care of our spirit mother, our spirit guides took their leave of us. They assured us that our new mother was going to provide us with a beautiful home, and told us that we should apply ourselves enthusiastically to the work we would be given to do. As for all other matters, we were told that our mother would be our chief source of instruction. I had the feeling that we were not being regarded as entirely responsible since we had not been asked to give any great account of ourselves, and were instead treated rather indulgently, making us feel we were being looked upon somewhat like grown-up children. This, at any rate, is exactly how things were. Our spirit mother was very kind to us, although she could often be quite strict. Each of us was given his own place in the living room. A second living room, in almost every way as handsomely furnished as the first, was located next door. This we were also permitted to use, though any discussions which involved us all invariably took place in the first of the two. Here, we each had our own place where we could make ourselves comfortable, with our own table and various other things reserved for our personal use. In due course, our mother assembled us and began to tell us what I had in effect already learned in part from my guide. This was that in our previous lives we had either failed to fulfill, or had been deprived of the chance to fulfill, the tax that had been intended for us, and it was up to us now, in this new life, to try to catch up on these missed opportunities and take up a profession of one kind or another. We turned to look at one another in astonishment. Had we heard correctly? Take up a profession? Secretly I had been looking forward to a pleasant, relaxed life in the company of my brothers, although, it is true, I had heard my guide speak of the work we would have to do. And so it was that my brothers and I began to see that this new world still contained room for growth and development, while at the same time, we had all been looking forward to a purely comfortable and easy way of life. So, our spirit mother was proposing that we should take up a profession. Surely that was quite out of the question here. Undeterred, however, she continued, none of you was able to pursue a professional training of any kind, you were all too young. But you are most certain to do so here. Once again we looked round at one another in disbelief. What can she mean, pursue a professional training? We're in heaven, aren't we? What do we need a profession for here? Such thoughts, I am sure, must have gone through the mind of every one of us there. Our mother paid no attention to our resistance and simply continued her address. Now, my dear children, did you really think that all the beautiful things you have seen here in this world which is still so new to you, simply came into existence all by themselves? No, indeed not. From the tiniest and most insignificant, to the most precious, everything here has had to be created. Spirit beings have worked to make it so. What you see here is the fruit of hard-working, skilled and practiced hands, and, no less, of intelligent minds. Everyone here is assigned work in accordance with his or her intelligence and natural talents. And in just this way too, each of you is going to learn a profession which matches your individual abilities. She went on to list a number of relevant professions and asked us to reflect upon them. She would give us, she told us, enough time to discuss them among ourselves, and then she would return and question us about the decisions we had come to. But how were we going to be able to discuss these things among ourselves, since not one of us understood the language of any of the others, or at best did so in only the barest of ways? Each of us spoke an entirely different language. Indeed, we had had to behave like children, using hand signs, and only in that way had we so far been able to communicate among ourselves. Our mother, however, then made it clear, "The first thing you all need to do is be able to understand one another with ease. And to this end our first task is to learn all the languages that are spoken here." Our mother spoke all our languages fluently and could therefore converse with all of us in the mother tongue we had used on earth. We had been able to communicate with and through her, as she always stood ready to help us, not just as teacher but above all as mother to us. She was always able to find words of love and comfort, giving us her encouragement, and often scolding us with a certain amount of severity. So we began our instruction by learning the various languages that we spoke among us. This naturally took a considerable time, but we were eager to learn and soon had sufficient mastery, comparatively speaking, at least where the basics were concerned, and were able to understand one another reliably and accurately. We were then told by our mother that we would soon have to leave the house in order to begin our training. It was up to us to choose the profession we wished to follow. Once again, our mother recited a list of the professions she judged suitable for us and which we could be expected to find enjoyable. She started with shoemaking, referring to it in all our various languages so that each of us could understand. None of us, however, had made this his choice, and no one therefore volunteered. Everyone still had a picture of shoemaking that came from his earthly life, and accordingly the universal response was, "Shoemaker, no, no, no." Not one of us wanted to become a shoemaker, and, when it was mentioned, a tailor far less. Our mother drew our attention to the fact that if we liked beautiful clothes and shoes we ought to recognize that these had first to be made, and that they were not simply going to appear from out of nowhere. "But understand," she said to us, "that in the heavenly world, the things we make with our hands are much more special and far more beautiful than what you know from your lives on earth." And, saying this, she showed us one of her own dresses which was reserved for certain ceremonial occasions. "People on earth," she told us, "cannot achieve anything like this." She spread out the dress in front of us and it was obvious to us what a costly thing it was. She tried to interest one or the other of us to take up work of this kind, assuring us that we would find it most rewarding, and that one could even become a great artist in such work. But no one could summon up enough enthusiasm for it. We all wanted to learn something else. So she continued, "What about stained glass making?" And she pointed to the windows of the room we were in. They were most certainly magnificent windows. "People on earth can't possibly have seen anything like them. Such splendid, luminous colors. Such wonderful images, such superbly fine workmanship." We inspected these windows somewhat more closely. In my heart I had already said yes to this work. It was really the overall impression that made me decide in its favor. I did not concern myself with the details. But, we were told, we would have to give equal consideration to everything we were shown, shoes, clothes and windows. Thus, though I was already very interested in stained glass making, I was still ready to hear about other work. And so it was that we continued to listen and steadily grew more and more amazed. After a while, one of us spoke up and said that his great joy had always been to draw. Our mother replied that stained glass making was just as much of an art. Of course, it required a corresponding talent, and those wanting to take it up would have to pass certain tests. They would also have to learn a great deal concerning how to put colors together, certainly not an easy business. "Indeed," she said, "it ought to be regarded as a very advanced art form, and certainly a long period of training would be required before anyone could be considered to have mastered it. There was no doubt that we were all greatly impressed by this work. But then our mother went on to tell us about weaving, another very fine area of work. Material for clothes had, after all, to be made. She showed us the material of her dress and the decorative features that had been woven into it from precious thread. Here again, she emphasized, this was no simple achievement. It required the skill and inspiration of an artist to produce things such as this. One would have to visit other towns within the heavenly world to find the fresh ideas one needed and then develop and enhance them and bring them to a new point of completion in one's own work. This, she added, was equally true for all the professions we had looked at, not least for stained glass making. This particular kind of artistic work had made a deep impression on all of us, and our Muslim brother lost no time in putting himself forward for it. He told us all how, as a child, in his earthly life, he had already helped with the knotting of carpets. To extend this to weaving would therefore be easy for him, he said, and would also be something he would greatly enjoy. Our mother seemed to approve of his choice. The rest of us, however, wished to hear more and consider the other professions that existed in this heavenly world. Of course there are many, many others, said our mother in reply, but I am only telling you about those which think are suitable for you. You can all start by learning one kind of work and then later take up another, or even others. There is no necessity for you to restrict yourselves to just one profession, but the understanding is that you must at least begin one kind of work. The discussion turned to architecture, and our mother commented that houses also had to be built in the heavenly world. She described for us some of the especially impressive buildings in the spiritual world that have been made out of particularly valuable spirit materials. This profession is also open to anyone with the appropriate talents, she told us, and equally, she said, there is gardening or landscape architecture, which in the spiritual world seem to be considered as one and the same profession. Gardens and parks, we were told, are very important in this world. They attract the attention of great artists, for these areas of parkland are continually being redesigned, and without advanced and far-sighted ideas it would not be possible to make them into things of significance and great meaning. Indeed, she told us that there is one central idea behind all this, namely that in the area of any artistic endeavor all of us should work to express ourselves to the timber of our talents, in the hope of winning praise and recognition from the higher spheres and, through that, of sharing in the great spiritual joy which such honors allow one to experience in this world. Having solved all this, our mother added that it was not possible for just anyone to become an architect. One first had to demonstrate one's suitability for the training, that one had the necessary talents. Next she mentioned basket weaving, a fine art in the divine world, as containers and boats of all kinds had to be made. She called our attention also to the handsome tables and chairs reserved for our individual use, and we certainly had to admit that all the furniture and objects around the household were indeed exceptionally beautiful. I confirmed this, saying, no one on earth can ever have set eyes on things as beautiful as these. They can't have any idea of what is created here. Our mother nodded in agreement. Yes, you see now the kinds of things you can learn to do here. Somehow, however, I still didn't feel entirely satisfied. My thoughts went back to my parents and to how they used to talk to me about what sort of work I should take up. Our new mother was proceeding in just the same way as they had done, listing the various professions one by one. At length she reminded us that we were obliged, finally, to choose one of the professions she had listed, and she told us, do not forget that the earthly world cannot be compared with the spiritual world. In earthly life people are very much preoccupied with money in what they do. We here in the spiritual world, by contrast, have no money. And that means that we have no need either of accountants or cashiers. You do not need to concern yourself about money here. There is no training to become a banker or a trader. It is much more important for you to take up a profession which has meaning in our terms and to understand that in this world no learning takes place which does not have a spiritual purpose. you will accordingly do your training from among professions which reflect life as it is lived here in the spiritual world, and through what you choose to do, you will be participating in the ever-unfolding development of the beauty of God's realm. We looked round us at all the objects in the living room and realized that it would scarcely have been possible to create anything more beautiful. None of us could imagine heaven being more lovely than this, and already we all felt perfectly happy and contented here. Sensing our thoughts, our mother responded, saying, "It is beyond your powers to imagine what the uppermost regions of the heavenly world are like. But even so, you are fortunate enough that your souls have remained unburdened and that you have been able to gain immediate entrance into these beautiful regions. Because of this, however, you will be expected to place all your talents and abilities at the service of the heavenly world, and to commit yourselves to God's work. Remember, you will always be able to devote yourselves to music, singing and painting, all the fine arts, just as people on earth are able to do. Indeed, you should take these up as forms of study if you think you have the talent to do so." At last we had all made our decisions as to what work we wished to do. I wanted to learn how to make stained glass. What a long road this was to be for me. First I had to practice drawing quite simple objects. For this I had to leave our mother's house and visit an atelier where I met others who were going to train with me. We had a tutors to teach us drawing and many other things besides. By making frequent visits to gardens and studying the rich colors of the flowers, putting them together in endless different combinations and compositions, we learned how to match colors correctly until we had finally mastered the technique of harmonious color compositions. We were told that time played no part in this, that we should learn this craft well and thoroughly was the only thing of importance. And so, I applied myself with the greatest enthusiasm, for the training involved more than just drawing and color composition. On the one hand we had to familiarize ourselves with spirit materials, and on the other hand we had to learn about the laws of vibration in order to understand the composition of odic forces and how to combine them, all of this necessary to produce the spirit glass itself. There was a great deal of detailed knowledge and technique to acquire. After that, we worked at trying to introduce simple colors into the glass through an increase of vibration and pressure, and at the same time concentrating on making the glass shine. All this before we even started work on the design. There was an enormous amount to learn, but I really enjoyed this work. According to an earthly reckoning of time, I spent a good 20 years before I was able to complete a stained glass window which could be said to successfully represent the laws of harmony in its color and form. 20 years of earth time. And here, I would like to emphasize that I did not spend all my time doing this work. For a long time we continued to have our mother's house as our home and returned there often whenever our tutors allowed us free time from our work. Our hours were closely supervised, albeit according to spiritual principles. Our stay at our mother's home came to an end after about 10 years of earth time, and we then lived in a communal home under the charge of male spiritual beings. Without a doubt, that first period we spent together with our spirit mother was a most happy and comforting time, but our given time off during which we can do as we please. While we were still living with our spirit mother, we used to play games as she encouraged us to do. Others spent their free time trying their hand at painting, or music, since they were pursuing professions different from me. Each of us did whatever he most enjoyed doing. While I was living with my brothers at our spirit mother's home, we used to play a marvelous ball game. It was something we enjoyed enormously. There was a lot of space around the house for playing, even a splendid park with lovely grassy areas. Our ball game cannot, however, be compared with the kind of games which so much excite the enthusiasm of young folk on earth. A set of rings are placed and secured at intervals on the grass. The aim is to try to throw the balls through particular rings while the others try to stop one. It is a game in which one can win or lose, but at the same time it's a harmonious kind of game, and there is no sense of excess as there is in most sorts of games played on earth. It is an extremely enjoyable game, and even when one side loses, no one gets disappointed but on the contrary simply looks forward to a return match. One can also think up one's own games and try them out with one's brothers or sisters. We know a great many games that can be played with rings and balls which are both good fun and yet non-competitive in the way I have described. And so this is how we used to live until the time came for us to leave our spirit mother's home. By the time we moved into the communal house, our ideas and ways of thinking had begun to change somewhat.